Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, you do great things through the power, glory, and presence of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move within us this morning, throughout the day, throughout our individual lives, that we may be more loving, more kind, more generous, more charitable, that we may know the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ in every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Do you have a hero? You have a hero. Think about that for a second. Who is your hero? Think about that for a second as well. It's a person that you have regarded as a profile or a figure that draws your attention and draws your admiration, a hero. Someone you would like to emulate in some capacity in life. I think we all have or have had heroes at different points in life. You know, many young boys throughout the ages have had sports figures as their heroes. Babe Ruth or Jackie Robinson or Michael Jordan. Larger than life, target of admiration, all of them. Well, perhaps the hero in your life has been a figure like George Washington or Harriet Tubman or Amelia Earhart. Or maybe that hero in your life has been someone who is not a famous person or a celebrity at all. Someone that only a few people knew. Perhaps like me, your hero in life has been someone much closer to you. I grew up revering my grandfather. Captain Bertie Shelton. Farmer, builder, accountant, boat captain, golfer, veteran of the Korean War, husband, father, grandfather. My hero in life. Not a perfect man by any concept. Not a perfect man, but he set an example for me to have a desire to be a better man. That sort of definition of give you the shirt off his back type of person. Though he rarely had an abundance to give, he gave. And he was a generous and kind and charitable man. I'm thankful for that. Thankful to have a hero like that. We all have heroes of some sort. Maybe you even are the hero in someone else's life. Now, I've also heard it said over the years, never meet your heroes, because you can only be disappointed. Now, maybe that's true if your hero is some celebrity or something like that, but it's probably not the advice that I would give. I would not give the advice to never meet your hero. Surely, don't idolize a facade or an act. Don't look up to sin or immorality or corruption. Though I do believe it is of sound advice to be of good measure and look toward good and godly people, good and godly examples of faith, love, and hope, good and godly examples of worship, joy, and generosity. Well, this morning we read from Paul's second letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth. And he encourages them to have an increase in their faithfulness that generosity would naturally pour from that faithfulness. Just like, he says, the Christians in the region of Macedonia. Macedonia is located a few hundred miles north of Corinth. Corinth was not too far from the city of Athens in Greece there. But Macedonia was certainly not an area or a people to be known for their wealth. But after hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, many souls accepted and received with great eagerness salvation offered by Jesus Christ, and quickly grew as very faithful believers in the faith. And then out of that faithfulness, overwhelming generosity poured from their extreme poverty through the faithfulness and generosity of Jesus. So Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to look at Macedonia as heroes of the faith. Someone to look up to, someone to admire and long to imitate. Because the Corinthians certainly did have means. They were known for their wealth. And now Paul is encouraging them to help the cause of church planting, to help the cause of gospel proclamation, to help the cause of kingdom building and faithful growth in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All in that glorious act of living into the power of the ascension of Jesus Christ back into heaven to rule, reign, and intercede for all eternity. This is the encouragement that we get from the ascension of Jesus Christ going back to heaven. We're not abandoned. We have that great gift of the Spirit to be with us. Interestingly, though, in this discourse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we may note if we look deeply at it that Paul never actually mentions money or the word for money, any of the words, the Greek words for money. What Paul refers to as our generosity, giving, charity, the words that he uses are charis, which means grace, and diakonia, which means service, and koinonia, which means community participation. These are the words that Paul intentionally uses for generosity and charity. In other words, he's encouraging them with the example of generosity by the Macedonians that this is an actual manifestation, giving, that charity is an actual manifestation of love, that it is an act of doxology, that it is an extreme charity. And he says, this is not a commandment. This is not a command. Rather, it is a proof of your earnestness. It's a proof of earnestness of the love that is in our hearts by the acceptance of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the greatest example of giving, of selflessness, of charity, and of love is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for the redemption of humanity. Jesus left the richness of heaven to become poor on earth, that we then would become rich through his saving grace. So what does it look like then to have extreme generosity for John's Island, for beyond, for this congregation seated here today, for all of you, all of us? What does it look like then to have extreme generosity? I'll give you some examples. It looks like the second Saturday work crew working on other days besides the second Saturday to restore homes that have been dilapidated, falling down. Currently, they're spending extra time, extra money, extra energy trying to put up an exterior wall on a house that had an exterior wall literally falling down. This work is done as an act of worship. This work is done out of the grace that has been bestowed upon that group of volunteers who give their time, their talent, their treasures in order to help others. It looks like a dedicated group of people led by Terry Porche, that worked so diligently in facilitating a sender's brunch fundraiser for the Uganda mission team. It was a great, fun success, a time of fellowship, a time of being together, a time of celebrating missions, a time of celebrating what the Lord is doing in our lives today in support of our Uganda mission team. And just 2 hours yesterday, more than $5,500 was raised. Amen. It looks like a group, a mission group from St. John's Parish Church going to northern Uganda in order to deepen relationships, to participate in the gospel-centered kingdom building that is taking place both here and there. It looks like writing Easter and Christmas cards for the youth inmates at the Charleston County Juvenile Detention Center with hope and encouragement in Jesus Christ, that where they are now is not where they have to be later in life. There is hope. It looks like worshiping every Sunday morning in a middle school cafeteria, occasionally without air conditioning, because of taking a firm stance on biblical authority and the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Even when that middle school is undergoing renovations to flooring and painting walls, it looks like all of these things and more. And it looks like a continuous increase of these works as well. Beloved, we are generous only because Christ was first generous for us. He gave out of his poverty that we may give out of our abundance. We offer our sins to him for redemption of our souls. We proclaim that this is indeed good news for us and for others. We have been blessed through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to be like the Macedonians and like the Corinthians. In faithfulness, in worship, in generosity, in hope, and in sacrificial love. So then let's revisit that question of heroes. Who is your hero? Why is that person your hero? And can we at St. John's Parish Church, the body of Christ, can we be the example of godly sacrificial generosity that produces great joy in the lives of others? Maybe you've never seen yourself as someone who others might look up to, as a godly example of faithfulness and encouragement and generosity, despite what has previously transpired in life. Maybe you've never seen yourself in that way. But the Lord sees you in that way. The Lord sees all of us in that way. Last week, Bishop Lawrence took our confirmands and he took their faces in his hands and looked at them in the eyes. And he told them before he was going to do that, that this was to look at them and see their face as God sees them. And then he prays for them. Friends, God sees us in such a way that every one of us could be the hero in the life of someone else. Love, joy, charity, giving, sacrificial love. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, a grace that prevails through us, and more importantly, despite us. Generosity, charity is a grace from God. Paul says that grace, that generosity is a desire, that it comes, it bubbles up within us to to want to give, to want to be charitable, to want to sacrifice myself for someone else. We're only generous because Jesus was first generous to us. That he gave his life for ours, that we might come to him in worship, in giving, in peace, in love, and in hope, surrendering all that we have to our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Giving you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, laying down my rights, giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you, and I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender I serve.